Musician Charlie Daniels has been gracing the stage for more than 5 decades as a singer, guitar player, and fiddle player. He's been inducted into the Grand Ole Opry and is a member of the Musicians Hall of Fame. Daniels and his band hit the stage last weekend in Tucson, but not before they sat down with independent producer Jake Feinberg.
It's great to have you in the state of Arizona. Welcome back.
Well, it's great to be here, and it's always a pleasure to be in Arizona. I've always had a lot of fun here. I'm very familiar with this part of the country. Desert's a special place. This area is a special place, and I've been coming through here for a long time, and to watch it grow, the state, to grow the way that it has, it's just, every time I come out here, it seems like it's grown some more. It's just a lot of people getting into the desert way of life and enjoying it.
How special was it when you first started your own band to be able to go to a town like, I don't know, Asheville or Tucson or Phoenix and play for a week at a time or even have a residency for 2 weeks or 3 weeks? I mean, as opposed to these kind of one-night stands, what did it mean as far as getting the band to be tighter but also being able to relate to the people more?
I learned an awful lot of lessons playing the beer joints, playing the where you go stay 2 or 3 weeks or maybe longer. We had certain places we went to that we would stay for, you know, 4 to 6 weeks or longer at the time. Of course, when I started out, the term pop music was a very ambiguous thing because it included everything from, you know, bluegrass to, I mean, Marty Robbins was having big hits and Stonewall Jackson was having big hits. And then you had the other side, the R&B stuff, the Little Richard and Fats Domino. And then you had kind of the, you know, the rockabilly side came along with Elvis. So you played so many different kinds of music. And of course, then you had the Frank Sinatras and Al Martinos and the, you know, the Tony Bennett's and people like that. And you had to play the popular songs of the day. So I got a well-rounded musical education by playing in those places and playing those long stands like that.
Did you get a chance to play with Bill Monroe and Tex Logan and those guys? Did you see them? Because the regionalism of music when you were growing up was so palpable as opposed to today where these barriers have been created.
I cut my teeth on bluegrass music. It's the first music that actually caught my interest that I wanted to emulate. And I think one of the reasons for it was, at the time, it was the day of the live radio show where bands would have live radio shows on the big stations in the state and would go around and play show dates in that area. And Flat and Scruggs were at WPTF in Raleigh, which was a station that went all over a big part of the state. So I got to listen to them, and I really got into that kind of music. I really like that kind of music. So I learned, when we started learning to play, we gravitated in that direction. And I used to take Bill Monroe records and just literally sit and, you know, try to figure out what he was doing with the mandolin. And I didn't have anybody much around that knew how to play that could show me anything. So I'd listen to Bill. I'd listen to Curtis Sackler. I'd listen to all the guys that were, you know, hot on the mandolin at the time, and I tried to figure out their licks and what they were doing. And about the time that I started, you know, heading in the other direction was when about time Elvis came along. And, you know, Elvis made it possible for a country boy to play rock music. It was kind of, you know, before then, it was basically horns and pianos and that sort of thing. And Elvis came along, kind of knocked all that out the window. And I bought an electric guitar and started, you know, kind of emulating people like Elvis and those folks. And it's just all been it's all fun. I have developed such a big taste for music. I love all kinds of music. And when you hear us play, we play all kinds of music. If you listen to a CDB set, you'll hear, you know, you'll hear, gosh, everything. You'll hear bluegrass, you'll hear rock, you'll hear jazz, you'll hear gospel. You'll hear all kinds of stuff. You hear country. Yeah, I think sometimes we tend to categorize music a little too stringently because there's no reason why you can't like every kind of music, basically. I do. I can find something in almost every kind of music that I thoroughly enjoy. And if you look in my iPad and the sources that I use to play my music on, you'll find everything from, you know, from Mozart to Bill Monroe to, you know, Charlie Parker to... I just like it all, and it depends on what mood I'm in, what I listen to. I don't put any blinders on me when I listen to music, or actually when I create it.
talk early on about your presence, how you would come into these sessions, whether it was Leonard Cohen or whether it was Al Kooper, whether it was Nashville Skyline with Bob Dylan. As a professional musician, how would you come into those sessions, and what were you trying to bring to those sessions?
When Bob Dylan came to town, that was just kind of out the window, because Bob approached the whole thing from a different point of view. He was there because he wanted you to put into the music what you wanted, and the first time you, I mean, what you could do best. And the first time that you heard it was when you heard him sing it. He took his guitar, he didn't have any demos. He'd just take his guitar and he'd stand there and sing a song. And then the musicians would say, well, let's try this, let's try that.
To be alone with you, just you and me. Now won't you tell me true, ain't that the way it ought to be?
But trying to do what you felt was good for his music, something that you felt would enhance the song that he was doing. And, you know, that's my approach to recording to this very day. When I go in, I try to do stuff that will enhance the song, if it's my song or somebody else's.
Could you talk a little bit about why you decided to create your own independent record label?
Well, actually, we were with major labels for a long time, and we were not really a priority with them anymore, actually. You know, it was like a kind of, we sold, I guess, somewhere close to 20 million albums in our heyday. And it got to the point that we were, very little attention was being paid to us. So we said, hey, let's go do our thing. We won't sell as many records that way, but I can do what I want to. Plus the fact that it seemed that they were wanting to, some of the A&R guys that took over after I had signed wanted to a little bit too much creative control, and I can't yield that to anybody. I tried it. It don't work for me. So we figured it best to, you know, move on and do our thing.